realms we haven't been comfortable with in the past. Quote Lester Sumrall again, but if you step out beyond yourself, that's where God lives. Isn't that so true? God, this is a season of trust. Perhaps it's we've never had opportunity before. And we thank you, God, we lift up our brothers and sisters in other nations where this virus has hit so hard. I just don't want to let a service go by without cursing this virus. We thank you, Jesus, that you carried every curse to the cross. We thank you, Jesus, that today sickness, disease dies when it touches our hands. Thank you, Jesus, that you are in control. You're in perfect control. Lord, across the living rooms, we thank you that our homes are covered in the blood of Jesus. This thing will pass us by. Lord, our thresholds are covered in the blood of Jesus. This thing will pass us by. And Lord, I just thank you the faith we're growing in. I just heard the first testimony of someone we prayed for, a son of a man whose father was sick, and seeing incredible healing coming from that. This virus does not stand a chance. I thank you, God, that you are so much bigger, that the God of the universe is bigger than a bug, and we declare that in the mighty name of Jesus. So honored today to have my father, Steve Wilson, come up and share. So if we can just stand up in our living rooms and just do a clap offering for what God has done through this man. Amen.
Amen. I never thought I'd heard a phrase like that before. So, oh, what a treat to be with you today. We just love what God's doing. This is one of the most amazing times in all of history. And whenever a time shifts like this, we need to have our hearts just prepared and ready for what God's saying and doing. Because everything gets thrown at us is negative, but if we get into his presence, that whole thing reverses and we begin to sense what he's doing in the earth. And I've had this phrase just stuck in my head for the last week: the church has left the building. The church has left the building. And that's not a negative. The church has left the building. 2 years ago, or almost 2.5 years ago, the Lord really pressed on us that this next season of our life, we were to be one. And then the beginning of last year, God really spoke to us to get ourselves into tight family groups where family was the life of the body and the cohesiveness that held us together. None of us had any idea that this was coming, but this didn't surprise God. And in this moment, we have one of the greatest opportunities to be the church that we've ever had in all history. And as we get testimonies around the earth, we're absolutely excited about the things we're seeing. Put a title this morning, it would be The Church Without Walls. We've got to understand what it means to manifest the kingdom of God. What does it mean for you and I in this moment, isolated in our homes? What does it mean for us to manifest the kingdom of God? During the week last week, I just got really pressed by the Holy Spirit that we cannot miss this opportunity. We've got to give ourselves to what he's doing this hour. And so I just sat back in my chair and, God, what do I have to learn to be able to do what you're asking us to do now? One of the first things he was, he said I had to get over my fear of being on a video. It's been probably one of my number one greatest fears in all my life is speaking on a video camera. So I have committed to getting over this. I've committed to looking at the camera and learning to do that. I'm absolutely committed because this is the season we're in. We've got to do what it's called to do. The second thing he said is you've got to learn to trust the internet. I'm thinking, okay. And just in that moment, I got a really sharp pain in the back of my shoulder. Well, I just posted my testimony for the day. So right under the testimony, I just type, somebody's got a really sharp pain in the back of your left shoulder. Well, immediately somebody answered. We typed a prayer in over the internet, and they posted back about 5 minutes later, the pain was gone. 2 minutes later, somebody from Lebanon posted and said, that's me too. I've got a pain in my shoulder there. We prayed and he was healed just instantly as we typed the prayer in. We have more available to us than we understand. Now, I'm of that generation that writes checks. Hi, Elia. We still balance our checkbook. I don't know if anybody still does it. We still do it. We have caught the bank one time in a mistake. So it's good to check. It's good to check. Yeah, sorry. Am I making a mess? Oh, okay. When we're in a transition season, we have to be so confident in what God is doing that we simply refuse to let the circumstance around us control us. I love that song, "We're Surrounded by You," because that's this moment. And I want us to go in and just look for a few minutes this morning at Scripture. And we'll start with John the Baptist. John the Baptist came in Matthew chapter 3 and verse 21. I had a previous slide up there with that phone number. Don't forget to call in your testimonies. We are going to be doing some more words of knowledge. We believe there are going to be some significant healings this morning, so don't forget to do that. John the Baptist came, and the very first thing he began to preach is repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. He's saying that there's something coming right in front of me, and in that thing that's coming, the rule of God is going to invade this realm. There's something's going to be happening. We prayed from the times we were little kids, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. My earliest memory is praying that prayer. We didn't really understand all we were praying, but God is inviting us to come into a relationship with him where we can walk and literally see his power released into this realm. So John says this, and he expected, in John's mind, he was expecting what they understood as David's kingdom, where all the enemies were pushed back and the border of Israel were safe and there was peace. He was expecting a physical kingdom. But then when Jesus came, Jesus began to do things differently than John had expected. And now we find John is actually in prison, and he's still looking for this Jesus to do what he's expecting him to do, but it's not looking like he thought it was going to be. This isn't what I thought revival would be. I didn't think it would feel like this. I didn't think we'd be locked in our homes instead of on the street. I didn't think this was going to be the way it was. And if we're not careful, we miss our moment because it doesn't look like what we thought it would look like. It doesn't look like what we expected. And if we miss our moment, we're going to miss the very thing that God's wanting us to do in this hour. And so John, out of that place, he's sitting in prison. He's condemned to death. In that place, he sends his disciples. And now when John heard of the works of Jesus, he sent his disciples to ask something. He sent his disciples to say, "Are you the one, or should we look for another one? This isn't what I expected it to be." None of us in our wildest imagination expected this to be the platform for the greatest breakthrough of the power of God on the earth. And yet we're in a moment where if we'll engage this correctly, if we'll walk in this correctly, we're going to see extraordinary things take place in this hour. We're going to see God use this in ways we can't even imagine. We'll talk about that a little bit later this morning. So in that moment, what Jesus sent back with John's disciples to John was Matthew chapter 11, verse 5. "Go and report to John what you see and what you hear. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have good news preached to them." Jesus communicates to John that the issue here is not your personal comfort. The issue is that the power of God is breaking into a society and changing things. The power of God is at work. Jesus understood the kingdom from a power demonstration point of view. He understands that there's a demonstration of the power of God that happens when the kingdom of God invades the kingdom of darkness. In Missouri, we're well familiar with when the Gulf Air and the Canadian Air often meet over the state of Missouri, and we have this 44 corridor where these two storm front meet, and we often see lightning and thunder and all kinds of stuff. Sally and I were without power for several hours the other night because the lightning hit a transformer near our house. That kind of power manifests when two storm fronts meet each other. And when the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of light meet, there's a demonstration of the power of God that's absolutely extraordinary. And we're in a moment where the greatest potential for miracles and release is right now in our hands, because two storm fronts are colliding. The thing that the enemy is doing and the kingdom of God advancing is colliding. And in the middle of that, we expect to see the greatest demonstrations of his power that we've ever witnessed. Begin to let your faith rise, because that's the moment we're alive in. This is what we get to do in this moment. It says, from John the Baptist until now in Matthew 11, the kingdom of God has suffered violent, but the violent take it by force. I want to encourage us as a body of people. I want to encourage those watching from different nations, from Brazil and Switzerland and France and South Africa, and from different states, from Pennsylvania and Florida and Minnesota. Those of you watching right now, I call on you. It's time for us to rise up as a people of God that demonstrate the kingdom in a most dramatic and dynamic way. It's absolutely time. We get testimonies frequently from around the world, and some of them aren't the ones we like to hear, but some of them are exactly what we need to hear. I've got a testimony here from a member of our team who works in southern France and works into churches in Italy. And he sent a testimony just literally last week. I'm not going to read all this, but I'm going to just give you a part of this. I want to tell you, this is the hour that we're in. A doctor by the name of Julian, 38 years old, from Lombardy, India, talks about this being the darkest hour he's ever lived in. The nightmare is that people, dozens, and then being overwhelmed by the numbers of people coming to the hospital that they as doctors can't care for. He said, until 2 weeks ago, my colleagues and I were all atheists. It was normal because as doctors, we've learned that science excludes the presence of God. I always laughed at my parents who went to church. But then 9 days ago, a 75-year-old pastor came in to see us. He was a nice man. He had serious breathing problems, but he had a Bible with him. And he impressed us. He kept reading to the dying and holding the hand of those that were slipping away. We were all tired, discouraged, psychologically, physically finished as doctors. But when we had time, we listened to him. Now, we have to admit that we've reached our limits, and I'm going to skip some of this. Today, we are all talking to each other, and we can't believe that as ferocious atheists, we are now every day looking for our peace and asking the Lord to help us resist so that we can take care of the sick. Every doctor has responded to that 75-year-old man. The 75-year-old pastor died yesterday. We've had more than 120 dead just here in our clinic. But although we're exhausted, he succeeded, despite his condition and our difficulties, to bring us a peace that we no longer hope to find. Can you guys hear that? That's today in our day, as the Spirit of God begins to invade society. And in the middle of what we think is catastrophe, we're seeing that one of the greatest moves of God in history. He's breaking in. He's reunited us. He's calling us back into community with each other. And he's calling us to be a light to the world around us. Death didn't stop what God wanted to do in that place. And now those doctors in that hospital are spending every day seeking his presence. They're so thrilled. The last part of that was just, he said, I want to take my last breath to help others. I am happy to have returned to God while I'm surrounded by the suffering of my fellow man. Can you get that? Don't miss our moment. It doesn't look like we thought it was going to look, but it's still the moment for us to rise up and be who God has called us to be. Jesus went on to say, blessed is the one that doesn't get offended by me. It's really easy to get offended when we don't see the things we thought we were going to see. When it doesn't happen like we thought it would happen. When it doesn't look like we thought all those other moves of God look. Nobody thought this is what it would look like. But we're in a moment where God is releasing into us the ability to push through no matter what it looks like around us. The word offended there in the Greek is the word where we got our English word scandalized. It literally means we get caught in a trap. You know, don't let yourself get caught in a trap because what you expected isn't happening the way you thought it was going to happen. But instead, press in and get a hold. In the 1800s, one of the kind of fathers of healing, man named Alexander Dowie, was in Australia. He pastored a church when the plague broke out. In one month, he buried 40 of his members. Just imagine, 40 of his members. And he came home from just visiting more of his members that were sick. And he got in his desk in his office, laid his head on his arms, and just began to say, God, actual words are recorded. God, is everybody going to die? Is this you? Are you going to take everybody? That was his heart aching response at seeing the devastation of the people around him. In that moment, he said he just got a revelation, looked at the scripture and saw Acts chapter 10, verse 38. And he said, in that moment, a light came on showing Satan as the defiler and Christ as the healer. Satan as the defiler and Christ as the healer. This coronavirus is not from God. The enemy's a defiler. But in the act of him defiling, God is turning this circumstance to bring a release of his power and glory. And what the enemy meant for evil is going to be turned to one of the greatest outpourings of the Spirit of God that any of us have ever witnessed or been a part of. Said in that moment, he shook himself off. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power. This isn't up on the screen. Who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil. He said, in that moment, I stopped weeping. This resolve came up in me. And I understood what my role was in this time of plague, in this time of disaster, this time of disease. Just a few minutes later, somebody knocked on the door and called him. A lady named Mary was dying. So Dowie quickly went to Mary's house. When he came into the room, she was having convulsions. The doctor was just closing up his bag and leaving. He was leaving her for dead. And the doctor, as he's going out the door, turned to Dowie and said and remarked, sir, aren't God's ways mysterious? Dowie said this thing rolled up in him, and it says he thundered, how dare you call that God's way? No, sir, that is the devil's work. And the doctor tried to calm him down. He said, sir, you're a little too excited. It's best to say God's will be done. And Dowie said, excited? The word's inadequate. I have in no way... let me read this correctly. It is not so, I exclaimed. No will of God since such cruelty, and I will never say God's will be done to Satan's work. That which God's own son came to destroy. As a result of that encounter, Dowie began to pray for every person that came to their church, and from that time on, never lost another person to the plague. that revelation that this thing that God has given us is so much more powerful than anything the enemy can throw at us. This is the moment to grab a hold of that fact right there in your own home right now. Grab a hold of that fact. What God is doing right now is so much greater than anything the enemy can do. We read in the life of Jesus that Matthew chapter 4, Jesus was going about all of Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every kind of disease and every kind of sickness. The gospel of the kingdom is always demonstrated. It's always demonstrated. It's always demonstrated. It's not just simply words. It's not a rational message. It's a message of the life of heaven breaking in this realm and transforming us because God's at work doing something. We need to connect to the Spirit of God and allow Him to work through us in this day. As I was preparing for this morning, I believe God said we're going to have a number of healings this morning. Would you just put that slide up? There's a text message up there, a place to text, and we want to hear from you. God gave me a number of words of knowledge this morning. I'm just going to share those right now, and then we're going to pray together, and I believe we're going to see some significant healings this morning right across the body of Christ to those overseas that are watching in different places. First one, I saw a hand, and I saw a tendon drawing up one of the fingers in the left hand. If that's you, I want you to put your hand on that tendon right now, and we're going to pray for that in just a minute. Almost deleted all my messages. Somebody has carpal tunnel in your right hand. You're having a lot of trouble with that pain in your wrist. If that's you, put your hand on it right now. Somebody's got a liver function issue. You've been told that you have a liver function issue, and you've been worried about it, concerned about it, afraid of it. Put your hand right now, wherever your liver is, right side, left side. There's a nurse in here. Can't remember which side it's on. It's somewhere here. Somebody has lower back pain right down at the bottom of your back. It's been increasingly bothering you. Sitting hasn't helped it any, but that pain is there right now. Somebody's had eye irritation. Your eyes have been dry and itchy. Just you wake up with them very itchy and dry. If that's you, just put your hands on your eyes right now. Use sanitizer before you do it so you don't move. Okay, somebody has a bladder infection that's been reoccurring. This has been something that's reoccurred several times. This is similar to Phil's word this morning, but this was very specific. Somebody had a head injury in an accident, and as a result of that injury, you've had recurring headaches over the last period of time. It's actually quite a long time. I don't have an amount of time, but it's recurring headaches over a long time. Somebody has pain under your right foot when you walk. It may be plantars, whatever they call that, but there's pain under your right foot, right near the heel when you walk. So if you have any of those things, I want you right now to take a moment, put your hand on wherever that is, and we're just going to pray, and we're going to believe, we're going to break that in Jesus' name. The kingdom of heaven is invading the kingdom of this realm, and in that act of invasion, we're going to believe right now for those things to be reversed in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. So right now, in the name of Jesus, I just speak to that hand, and we command that finger to be straight in Jesus' name. We command that carpal tunnel to be reversed and the right hand to move freely and flow freely. We speak to that liver and we command you to operate as you were created. In Jesus' name, we reverse any damage to that liver and we speak total and complete freedom now in the name of Jesus. We command backs to be healed and straightened. That nagging pain that's been in the lower back, we just command that to go now. In Jesus' name, we speak total, complete healing. We speak to these eyes and we say, no more dry eye, no more irritation, no more itching. We curse that thing and we speak freedom to these eyes in Jesus' name. Be healed now in the name of Jesus. We speak to this bladder infection. We say no more. Every bacteria is dying now that's caused this. And we speak a reversal of this and complete and total healing in Jesus' name. And I believe there's actually somebody that it just there's a prostate issue that somebody's facing right now. I speak to that prostate and I command you to shrink. I command any cancerous cells to be gone now. In Jesus' name, total healing to your body now. In the mighty name of Jesus. We speak to that head injury and the recurring headaches, and we say, pain go now, nerves be healed, be restored in the name of Jesus. This is a moment for the kingdom of God to invade this realm, and darkness is being pushed back, injuries being pushed back in Jesus' name. We speak to the pain in this foot when you walk, and we say, reverse now anything that's causing it. We just reverse that, we curse it, and we speak pain-free to this foot. And now in Jesus' name, all of these pains, wherever they are, we just speak a reversal now in the name of Jesus. I want you to check that out. Check your body out. Those of you who can, check your mobility. And as you do that, just text the number to this number on the screen. Text your testimony. We want to hear. I believe we're already going to start getting testimonies right now coming in on those. And as we come, they'll share it with me, and I'm going to share them with you. It's exactly what Jesus did. It's not a rational message, it's a revelation message. It's his revelation breaking through in us. Not only did Jesus do it, but in Luke chapter 9, he called the 12 together. And we read in Luke chapter 9, verse 1 and 2, we read that he called the 12 and gave them power and authority over all demons and to heal diseases. And he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom and to perform healing. To proclaim the kingdom and to perform healing. You have been sent out by the Lord Jesus to proclaim the kingdom and to perform healing. It's time for us to wake out of our lethargy and begin to see God work through us. It's time to use the opportunities we have right now to reach out to people and touch them with the power of God. He's given you the power and the authority. The power comes to you as an operation of the Holy Spirit. You've received power when the Holy Spirit came upon you. The authority comes from his commission. The Lord Jesus himself has commissioned his disciples to do this. You and I are his disciples. Decide right now, today, in your own home, that you're going to break out of passivity and you begin to declare and proclaim the kingdom of God. This is our moment to rise up, church. This is our moment to rise up. We're a church without walls. We're a church without limitations. We're finding, last Sunday we had, I believe, 412 views on our Sunday messages. People all over the U.S. and across the world began to log in and were touched by the incredible worship that was released. And again today, worship team, thank you. That was absolutely awesome. Incredible worship today. We're sent out to proclaim and perform. When we proclaim the kingdom, something's going to happen. Something's going to change. Something's going to shift. Paul later talked about his own message in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 20. Whew. For the kingdom of God does not come or does not consist in words, but in power. But in power. But in power. There was a second set of words of knowledge that I had as I was preparing this morning. And I believe God wants to do some incredible things moment in our emotional life right now. Somebody that's listening to my voice right now is struggling with nervousness in this situation so much that it's actually causing you to have indigestion. Your stomach is just not right. It's just churning. It's not right. Praise God, we just had somebody text in that their lower back pain was completely gone when we prayed a minute ago. Yes, Jesus. I love technology. You're not supposed to hold text while you're doing this, but I'm going to. I'm learning to like technology, and I'm learning to look at the camera. I'm doing better than last week and the week before. Okay. Virus is battling fear. There's incredible fear. This coronavirus is powered by fear. I don't know what that looks like in the spiritual realm, but the more you're afraid, the more you open the door to the things you're fearing. And it's time for us to set aside fear and absolutely refuse to walk in fear. That 75-year-old pastor that walked in, just got another one, rubbing steel. My right foot was just healed. Woo! Yes, Jesus. It's time to break fear. It's time to get away from fear. It's time to let the perfect love of Christ. That 75-year-old pastor that walked into the hospital didn't walk in fear. He walked in with the Word of God, and he changed the environment because he stood on the Word of God, and he released life into the people around him. At least three times in church. I'm going to get distracted here. It's not distracted, is it? Oh, praise God. We just had a right shoulder completely healed. They put their hand on the shoulder. Wasn't even a word I gave, and their shoulder was completely healed. Yes, Jesus. Come on, guys. This stuff is real. This stuff is not pretend. This is the power of God at work. And he's releasing the power of his kingdom into our homes if we'll accept it and receive it in Jesus' name. Yeah. Oh, Jesus. Okay, if you're battling fear, there's a depression and loneliness going on right now that is, you know, if people are isolated, one of the greatest dangers is depression and loneliness. And that leads to thoughts of suicide. And so I want to ask you right now, there's a number put up on the screen right now behind me. If you're struggling, I want you to text in your phone number and somebody will call you. If you're struggling with suicide, text in your number and somebody will phone you right now, and we'll pray with you over the phone right now. So if you are in one of those groups, nervousness, indigestion, that combination, if you're battling fear, if you're battling depression, loneliness, or you have thoughts of suicide, I want you to, in your own home right now, I want you to just stand up, and I want you to put your hands on your head, and we're just going to pray right now that the mind of Christ would overtake what the enemy's trying to do. So in Jesus' name, we just break the power of depression. We break the nervousness. We break the fear. And Lord, we release in its place your perfect love that casts out fear. We call on you, Lord Jesus, touch right now. By the power of your Spirit, we reach into every home that's hearing this right now. And we break nervousness. We break fear. We break depression. We break loneliness. And we break suicide now in Jesus' name. And we release the life of God to transform our communities. By the power of your Spirit, Lord Jesus. By the power of your Spirit. Okay, we're in isolation. How does this work in isolation? I was asking the same question earlier last week. God, how do we do this in this environment? Because we want to respond correctly to our government that's asking us to be home. We want to use wisdom. We're not just here. God, how do we do this thing you've called us to do? And he began to say, you got to trust the internet. Social media is flooded with negative news. Why not flood it with the power of God and the love of Lord Jesus? Why not get on and just post the good things that God is doing? Declare. Why not get on the phone and make phone calls? Over the last few days, I've had a number of times when this has happened. Thank you, Jesus. Oh my goodness. Okay, up in El Dorado Springs, we just had a carpal tunnel wrist healed. And another person just had their lower back healed. They've just texted in the testimony of their lower back. Guys, the kingdom of God is advancing in this environment. This is the moment to press in. This is the moment to believe. This is the moment to do what God's called you to do. Every time I get a name come to mind, I just pick up the phone and call them. 2 days ago, I called somebody that in another nation, and just had the impression they're a doctor going through a really tough time dealing with stuff. And they were out in the field walking because they'd been battling nervousness and depression for 3 days. They just, it was the overwhelming thing. And he was climbing over the stile. In England, they have these stiles you climb over. He was climbing over a stile. And as he climbed over, he said, God, I've prayed, I've fasted, I've read your word. I need somebody to call me and break this. Another testimony. And as he did, the phone rings and it's me saying, how are you doing? And we were able to pray and break that off him. And I texted him yesterday. He's totally free, completely free. We have the power of the kingdom in our hands. It's time to use the technology we've been given and just permeate the airways with hope and trust and expectancy. Woo! Oh, don't have a name on this one, but you prayed over the right wrist. I was groveling in pain, and I claimed healing, and now it's gone. I love the kingdom. I love what God's doing in this hour. What a moment to be alive. What a moment to get to do this. What a moment to begin to release his life and his love and his hope into people. It's time to rise up, church. Time to rise up. It's time to ask the Holy Spirit to begin to give you words of encouragement to send to people. It's time for you to get on the phone and bless people and just release the life of God into people. It's time to shake ourselves off of the burden of being locked in our house and begin to take it as the greatest moment in history to advance the kingdom of God. We've already understood the need to be together in family, but now in this moment, in this time of fellowship with him, trust him to begin to operate through you so that we can see incredible, incredible, incredible breakthroughs. This is the moment. Paul said this in just earlier in 1 Corinthians. My message and my preaching were not in persuasive words of wisdom, but in demonstrations of the Spirit and power, that your faith would not rest on the wisdom of men, but on the power of God. For us to see in our nation what we're believing for. Oh, another one from El Dorado Springs. There was a heel spur. They could hardly walk, and all pain is gone. Jesus, Jesus, you're good to us, Lord. You're good to us. You're good to us. You're good to us. Sorry to interrupt, but my eyes stopped itching and burning during this service. Okay, cool. I love it. I love it. I love it. Listen, this is the real life in the kingdom. We can either push it to a side and leave it as another era, or we can pull this in and begin to pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, and we will see the power of God manifest in ways that we haven't even imagined yet. My message and my preaching were not just in persuasion, but in demonstration of the Spirit and power. Look what he says. So your faith won't rest on the wisdom of men, but the power of God. Paul was not afraid of a gospel where miracles accompanied and drew people to salvation. He expected people to be drawn to faith because they witnessed the power of God at work. And we expect no less today. We expect the power of God to be at work in us in this season. Worship team, if you guys would get ready to come up. Another right heel pain completely freed. Yes! I need to celebrate what he's doing in this hour. We need to celebrate what he's doing. Jesus said this of himself. Do I have Matthew 12:28 on the screen? Do I have that? Yeah. If I by the Spirit cast out demons, the kingdom of God has come among you or upon you. Every time you respond to the Spirit of God, whether it's an encouraging word, a prophetic word, a song, a hymn, I love our worship nights and just the faith that's being stirred as every evening different families around the body are worshiping. That's absolutely incredible. Every time the Holy Spirit's released in that way, God is manifesting his power to transform lives. So we expect no less today. What I'd like you to do in your own homes right now, wherever you are, would you just get some bread and a cup, and we're going to take communion together. The invitation today is literally going to be that we take communion together. We feel like as a leadership, God's really instructed us that this would be something we do in every service during this period, because this is the consecration, the remembering, the sending, so that we can walk in the things that we've been called to do. So right now, just take a moment, go get that together. Jesus said, every time the Holy Spirit flows through you, his kingdom advances. Every time you give a word, you give a prophetic word, you give a word of knowledge, every time you allow the Holy Spirit to work through you, every time you deliver somebody from fear or from a demonic influence, every time you do that, you are advancing the kingdom of God in this earth. And his kingdom knows no end. It knows no slowdown. Right now is the greatest moment in all of history for the breakthrough. Amen. The early church, there are three major instances where this happened, but the most dramatic happened in about 265 to about 280, somewhere in that period AD. There was a plague came on the Western world, particularly Rome. There was at one time so many people dying in Rome that it had gotten out of control. And the fear was so deep in Rome that when somebody got sick in a home, they would actually take that person out and throw them in the street and just let them die in the street because they were afraid of them having the sickness in the home. What the Christians did is instead of responding out of fear and self-protection, the Christians went to the street and the Christians would minister the sick and dying and bury the dead. Many, 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 many believers died in that plague. Many caught it as they ministered to other people. But they lived so unafraid and with such unselfish discipline and giving themselves to the Lord that one of the Roman emperors actually wrote to his pagan priests and said, "We're losing people. You need to behave like the Christians." Because they were so impressed with this life of God that was flowing through these people that were hated so much. Over the next few years, as a result of their sacrifice, Rome became a declared Christian nation. Constantine was converted in 312, and shortly after that, it was declared a Christian nation. Such a large population had turned to Christ. Why did that rapid church growth happen? Historians acknowledge it was the behavior of the Christians during the plague. Can you hear this? Can you hear this? Can you hear this? It was the behavior of Christians during the plague that converted a nation. It was the behavior of Christians in a plague that saved a nation. So right now, I want you to take the bread. Worship team, just sing over it. Just take that bread in your hand. Represents the body of Christ. The healing that was purchased for us. Right there in your home, take your bread right now.
I love you, Lord. For your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hand.
Yes, Jesus.
From the moment that I wake up till I lay my head, I will sing of the goodness of God.
Yes.
All my life you have been faithful. been so,
yes, Jesus, you've been so good. You've been so good.
With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God.
Let's just take that bread right now. Father, we just bless this in your name. We bless your body. We thank you your body was broken so that we could be whole. We thank you your body was broken so that you could knit us together as your family. We thank you your body was broken to release the power to bring your salvation and healing to us. So we thank you for your body broken in Jesus' name. Let's eat it together. Yes, you're good, Lord. Whew. Yes, we worship your goodness. We worship your goodness. We also have the power of the blood. His blood that once for all paid the price for sin. His blood that broke us free from the captivity that we'd been under for generations, brought us into a new covenant relationship with him, where his grace saves us, frees us, transforms us. Oh, Father, we thank you for your blood. We celebrate your blood. We celebrate the power of the blood, the power of the blood to change our lives and transform us. Right now, if you're hearing this, just take that cup and let's drink it together as we celebrate the blood. I feel really strongly in this moment. There's somebody listening to us right now that you know you're not in right relationship with the Lord Jesus. You're there in the household. You're watching this live stream, but you know you're not right. In this moment, if you'll give your life to the Lord Jesus, in this moment, if you'll ask him to forgive you, the power of his blood will break you free. It'll break you free from habits and the past and history. Put that number back up for us. It'll break you free from everything that's bound you. Right now, I'm asking you to just pray this with me. In Jesus' name, I give my life to you. I just ask you to free me from this fear and the condemnation I've been feeling. I'm inviting you to come into my life. I accept you as my Savior. I belong to you, Lord Jesus. I thank you for the new life you're giving me right now. I celebrate this new life in you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Now, if you just prayed that, I'm asking you to text this right now to us. We want to hear your testimony of what God's doing in you right now. As we worship, just text that right now to us.
I will sing of the goodness of God. I love your voice. You have led me through the fire in darkest night. You are close like no other. I've known you as a father. I've known you as a friend. And I have lived in the goodness of God. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. With my life laid down, I surrender now. I give you everything. Your goodness is running. play down. I'm surrendered now. I give you everything. Your goodness is running after. It's running after me. Yeah. Your goodness is running after. It's running after me. Your goodness is running after. It's running after me. Yeah. With my life laid down, I'm surrendered now.
Father, you are so incredibly good to us. Thank you for running after us with your gift of salvation. Thank you for running after us and sending your son Jesus to die. Thank you for running after us and healing our bodies, healing our minds. Lord, bringing us into right relationship with you. And so today we just celebrate that. Father, I pray a blessing on every home that's tuned in right now. We speak health to that home, a hedge of protection. We speak the blood of Jesus over every one of these homes, that no virus would come near these homes. We just rebuke that thing in Jesus' name. We speak total protection and total peace. We take authority over all fear, that no fear would invade any in the household, that from this moment, every household would be flooded by with your presence and with your love and with your power. Father, we just make a commitment together right now to demonstrate your kingdom, not just to talk about it, but to do it, Lord Jesus, to release your power, to release your healing into the community around us, whether it's on the airwaves or whether it's a word of encouragement in the grocery store, whatever we do, commit to do it in this hour. In Jesus' name, amen. Be blessed. We love you guys.